We're on Daf Ayin Omid Beis. Actually, I think I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Let's go back to Daf Ayin Omid Aleph. And we're up to the Ein Notlin Rishus. Just one second. No, I think we got beyond that. Yeah.
Yeah, we just said
Dahavi miss. Yeah. Dahava u miss. Right. So you have that extra person in the chatzer, and he was part of the original Eruv, but he died. And now that person that was not part of the Eruv was Mevatel his Rishus, and Nimtza Shezeh lo Irev Eino Mevatel Eloli Echad Nosar. Okay, so let's just go over this. We have a machlokes as to whether or not the mevatel has to be mevatel singularly for each one of the bnei ha-chotzer. And Rava's opinion was tzarch levatel l'chol echad v'echad. And Abaye objected. And he brought a proof from a brisa that says that echad shelo erev nosein rishus li echad she'erev. Now, by definition, if the other person was part of an erev, there must have been another party over there. And yet the brisa says that he only has to be mevata rishus to echad she'erev, one of the two people that were part of the erev. So Rava answers, no, that when it says le'echad she'erev, means there's only one other person, because the other person that was part of that erev died, and in this case, the bitul rishus will be for one of them, because there's only one of them. So the Gemara asks the following question, e dahava umis, if the case is that there was another person who was alive and was part of the Erev, but he died, is Ema Seifa. How are we going to interpret the next part of the Braisa? The Braisa says, Aval Ein Echad She'erev Nosein Rishuso Li Echad Shelo Erev, that one person who was part of the Erev cannot give his Rishus, meaning be Mavata's Rishus, to someone who is not part of the Eruv. And that was, just one second. Let's just go, I just want to refresh my memory on the Braisa. Echad shelo Eruv, nosem Rishus li Echad she'erev. Shnayim she'erevu, nosem Rishus li Echad shelo. Shnayim shelo Eruvu, nosem Rishus li Shnayim she'erevu. Only echad shelo erev. Aval ein echad. This is the safe of the brayse. Ein echad she'erev nosein rishuso li echad shelo erev. So let's see the Gemara's kasha. Ida hava umis. If we're talking about a case that there was another person who was part of the Eruv, and he died, is Amai Lo? If two people participated in an Eruv, one of them died, the one that's still alive should be able to be Mevatel as Rishus to the person who was not part of the Eruv. Why? Because this Chatzer now belongs to two people, and there's no Eruv, so now Bitul Rishus should be effective. And yet, the Braisa says, Ein echad she'erev no sein reshusa li'echad shelo erev. El pshita de isei. It must be that there were two people who entered into this erev agreement, and they're both still alive and well. And one of the two people who were part of the Eruv is on the receiving end. Ein Eruv, Ein Echad She'erev, no servant. Oh, not on the receiving end, my mistake. And that person who is one of two people who are part of the Eruv cannot be mevatel his reshus to the third person who was not part of the Eruv, because we need both people who are part of that Eruv to be mevatel their reshus as a joint effort. We need a seifa de isei, and once I've proven to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that in the seifa there is a person who's alive and well, is reisha nami de isei, we should maintain the symmetry of the Braisa. We should assume that even in the beginning of the Braisa, we're talking about a case where there's another person, and nevertheless, the Braisa says that you can be mevatel li echad she'erev, and it's sufficient that you're mevatel to one of the people who are part of the erev. You don't have to be mevatel to everyone, bifnei atzmo, against Rabbah. So the Gemara says, midi irio, that's not a proof. Why? Hakadisa. It could be that part of the Braisa was addressing one particular scenario, and the other part of the Braisa a different scenario. So we're going to say that the Sefer of the Braisa is talking about a case where the other person who was part of the Erev is alive and well, whereas the Reisha, the beginning of this Braisa, is talking about a case where the other part of the other partner in the Erev died. Teda, and I'm going to prove this to you, that you have to differentiate between different parts of this Braisa, and each part of the Braisa is talking about a different set of circumstances. The Ketani Seifa, the Reisha, at the beginning of the first part of the Braisa, it says, Ushnayim Shalo Ervu, Nosnin Meshusam, Lishnayim She'ervu. So two people were left out of the Eruv, they can give their reshus to the other two people who are part of the Eruv. And we should be daik from the Lashon HaBraisa that Lishnayim in Li Echad Lo. They can only create an effective Bittul reshus to two of the people who were part of the Eruv, but not to one person. So we see clearly from this Braisa that Bittul Rishus is, it's not enough that you mevatel to one of the people who are part of the Eruv, but rather you have to be mevatel to both, or for that matter, to all of the people who are part of the Eruv. And therefore, just one second, I'm trying to figure out the therefore. We're going to have to conclude that the Bryce is talking about two different cases, correct? Tafka l'shnayim she'irvu yachahem yicholim lasis v'shusam Lole Echemen Bilvad, Mavuba Bryce Bitl Shus Yeshavatal Chol Elu She'irvu Velodai Levata Li Echemiha. So, how is it possible, therefore, that in the Reisha of the Reisha, we validate a case where the person who wasn't Ma'arev, he was left out of the Erev, Nosim Rishus Li Echad She'erev. And that's going to be valid. How could that be valid when we just said in the Sefer that there has to be a Bittul Rishus to all the people who are in the Erev, all the participants in the Erev? So the only way of reconciling that is to assume that in the Reisha, you have only one person left, the other person died. Whereas in the Sefer, they're both alive and well. So we see clearly that the Braisa is talking about two different cases. And that means that the Braisa now is support for Rabbah. So now the Gemara wants to work out this Braisa according to Abaye. For Abaye Omar, Abaye is the one who was convinced that this Braisa proves that the person who was left out of the Erev has to be Mevatar Rishus only to one of the Bnei Achatzer. So how is he going to explain the Sefer, which says that Shnaim Shlo Irvu Nosnim Rishusam L'Shnaim She'ervu? Why L'Shnaim She'ervu? According to Abaye, one should be sufficient. Is my L'Shnaim Li Echad Mishnaim? So you have to really push it in. When the Braisa says Nosnim Rishusam L'Shnaim, what it really means is Li Echad Mishnaim. So the Gemara immediately objects, Ihochi, Lisni. The Braisa should have used the language of Nosnim Rishusam Li Echad She'erev O Li Echad She'lo Erev. In other words, it shouldn't have made this distinction between being Mevatel Li Echad She'erev as opposed to being Mevatel Li Echad She'lo Erev. It should have just made the distinction between whether he's Mevatel Li Echad, right? Lisni. So it says Lishnayim. So Abaye was forced to say that Lishnayim means Li Echad Mishnayim, because you don't need Shnayim according to Abaye. So then the Gemara objects that the Braisa should have said Nosim Shusam Li Echad She'erev. Oh, Li Echad Shelo Erev. Okay, fine. So what's the objection now of the Gemara? V'lo lechalik bilshono b'mevatel Li Echad She'erev levein mevatel Li Echad Shelo Erev. It should have said Li Echad She'erev. Oh, Li Echad Shelo Erev. Is Kasha. So the Gemara leaves that as an open-ended question. So I'm gonna leave this and go on. If Bli Neder, you know, time will allow, we'll come back and clarify this a little bit further. Okay, now the Braisa says Echad Shelo Erev Nosein Rishuso Li Echad She'erev is Labaye, who holds that the one that was not part of the Erev, he doesn't have to be Mevatel to every single one of the Bnei Achatzi. It's enough that he's Mevatel to one of the Bnei Achatzi. Is the Isay, there is another person who's alive and well. So Li Echad She'erev means one of the various live members of the Erev is v'kamashmalon, and the Braisa is coming to teach us the ein tzoch levatar v'shusol kol echad v'echad. But l'rabba, who holds that indeed you have to be mevatar v'shus to every one of the bnei ha'eruv, and when the Braisa says that the bittul is nasa b'fnei echad, it's tahavi who missed. There was another person who was part of the Erev and he died. So what's the Chiddush now? The Chiddush is Lo Gazrinin Zimnin De'isei. We're not going to enact a Gzera because maybe in a case where there are two people who were part of the Erev and they're both alive, he might come to be Mevatel's Rishus only to one of them. And the Chiddush of the Braisa is that he could be Mevatel, his Rishus, to one of them if one of them died. And we're not afraid, therefore, that we'll validate a Bittul Rishus to one of them when the other one is alive. The Braisa says, Ushnaim She'ervu Nosnim Rishusam Li Echad Shelo Erev. So you have two people that were part of the Erev. Now they're going to be Mevatel, their Rishus, to the third person who is not part of the Erev, Pshita. Right, we have in our Mishnah that a person who was not part of the Erev could be Mevatas Rishus to the two people who were part of the Erev. And we're not going to institute a Gzera in the case of Shnayim She'irvu, that they're not going to be Mevatel Yechid Shelo Erev. So why did the Brice have to teach me that two She'irvu Nosim Shus Liechid Shelo Erev? Mild Tame, I would have thought, Cave on Delo Erev Lichnese. That if this person to whom or for whom the two wannabe Mavatha Rishus was not part of the Erev, then we should penalize him. And he shouldn't be able to be Zoche in the Rishus of the other Bnei HaChatzer. Because why didn't you participate in the Erev? Kamash Malah in the Mishnah, the Brice wants to teach me that there's no such Knas, but rather that he can be Zoche in the Rishus. Next, the Brisa says, Ushnaim Shlo Erevu Nosim Rishusam Lishnaim She Erevu. Is La Rabba, two of them were not part of the Erev, right? Is the Rava who holds that you need to be Mevatel Rishus Echad V'Echad. So the Tana wants to teach us that you can be Mevatel, and you have to be Mevatel, to both people who participate in the Erev. It's not enough to teach me that Shnayim Mevatelim Li Echad Shelo Erev, but now you want to know that the person who was not part of the Erev has to be Mevatel Rishus to both people who were part of the Erev. And Tani Seifa Ligluye Resha. So the Tana, the Mishnah, adds this extra din at the end of the Raisa to teach me how to interpret the beginning of the Raisa. That which we learned in the beginning of the Raisa, that you could be Mevatel to one who was part of the Erev, that's only because the other partner in the Erev died. But if he didn't die, then you have to be Mevatel Chalecha V'Echad. And that we know from the Sefer, because the Sefer says, Nosim Shus L'Shnayim She'erevu, but not to one She'erev. But according to Abaye, that the person who is not part of the Erev only has to be Mevatel Rishus to one of the Bnei HaChatzer who are part of the Erev. So why did the Tana repeat this by saying Shnayim Shlo Erevu Nosim Rishus L'Shnayim She'erevu? So he says that Mishum Shnayim Shlo Erevu Nosim Rishus L'Shnayim She'erevu Itzterchle. Shnayim Shelo Erevu Nosim Rishusam L'Shnayim She'erevu. That's going to be the Chiddush of the Sefer. Why is that a Chiddush? Yisalka Daitcha Mina Ligzar Dilma Asi Levetule Lahu. It would have crossed my mind that we should introduce a gzera here, that if two people were not part of the Erev, they should not be able to be Mevatel their Rishus, because we might come to mistakenly think that if others, that Acherim Yechol Mevatel Shnayim Shelo Irvu. Right, because it's Shnayim Shelo Irvu, Nosim Shus Shnayim She Irvu. But the other way around is not valid. Meaning, in the case of Shnayim She Irvu, and they want to be Mavato, they're Shus to Shnayim Shelo Irvu, that's not going to be a valid bittul rishus, and therefore we should make gzera that just like in the case of shnayim she'irvu, they cannot be mevatel lerishus to shnayim shelo irvu. Therefore, even in the case of shnayim shelo irvu, want to be mevatel lerishus to shnayim she'irvu, we should disqualify it because of the possibility of exchanging the two cases, and therefore we should institute a gzera kamash malon, that the Chacham did not make such a gzera, and therefore those two people who forgot to make the Erev can be mevatel their rishus. Then the Braisa goes on and says that if two people were not part of the Erev, they can give the rishus to Shnayim She'ervu Oli Echad Shelo Erev. So what's this case? Shnayim Shelo Erevu is nosim reshusam li echad shelo erev. Now again, we know that there is an institution called bittul vis-a-vis on the receiving end, the person who's not part of the erev. So why do I need the braisa to teach me that if two people were not part of the erev, they can give their reshus to a third person who's not part of the erev? Lamali. Mao de Tema, I would have thought, Hani Mili, when could you be Mavata Yerushus? Is Hechad Miktsosan Erevu, Umiktsosan Lo Erevu. In other words, part of the Bnei Achatz, one group were part of the Erev, and another group were not part of the Erev. So there was an Erev. And now, once there was an Eruv, we have a possibility of Bittul Rishus on the part of those who are not part of the Eruv, vis-a-vis those people who are part of the Eruv, so that the Bittul Rishus entity or enterprise was enacted in order to fill in the missing blank, so to speak, and complete the Eruv. Aval Hech de Kulam Lo Eruvu, so they never had an Eruv to begin with, Liknesinu. In the Havamita, we would say we should impose a penalty on the Bnei Achatzer, such that they won't be able to be mevatel their reshus to one of the Bnei Achatzer. Because if that be the case, they're completely circumventing the whole institution of Eruv. Kidei shelo tishtakach toras Eruv. Which means that the next generation will see that their fathers did not engage or participate in an Erev, they're going to think, forget it, there's no need for an Erev, let's just do without an Erev. They don't realize that the next generation, the children, that the reason why there was no Erev is because we're relying on Bittul Rishus. So we have a Havamina to say that in this case where the Bittul Rishus would mean that there was no Erev whatsoever, that's a dangerous proposition. Kamash Malan, the Bryce wants to teach me that even in that case where there'll be bittul rishus without any Erev at all, it's still valid. Then the Braisa says, Aval ein echad she'erev, no sein rishus oli echad shelo erev. So you had one person who was in the Erev, and he wants to be mevatel his rishus to one person who's not in the Erev. La Baye, who says that you could be mevatel yirushus to one of the Bnei Achatzer, you don't have to be mevatel yirushus to each one of the Bnei Achatzer. And here it says li echad, and when it says li echad she'irev, what it means is one of the two people are part of the Erev. Now the Tana wants to teach me that one of the two people who participate in the Eruv cannot be mevatel the Rishus to Echad Shelo Eruv. even though it's pashut, I mean, how could this bittul be meaningful when there's another person who's part of the Erev and he's not being mevatel's rishus? Is tana sefer legluye reisha? So according to Abaye, this halacha that you cannot have one of the bnei achatzer who is part of the Erev being mevatel's rishus without the other one of the bnei ha'erev partes mevatel's rishus, that was only formulated to shed a light on the reisha. And it's telling you the following. Kishem shebedin zeh nokta b'raisa loshon echad she'irev. And even though there are two people part of the Erev and they're both alive, one of them wanted to be mevatel his reshus to the person who wasn't ma'ariv. And just one second. Shnei anoshim she'irvu. There's so many different cases here. I just got to calculate them all. So again, tana sefer legluye reisha. And the sefer is the case where one of them who was part of the Erev wants to be mevatel's reshus, the other part of the participant in the Erev is not, so that's invalid. And now we go back to the tchilas habraisa. And again, I'm going to read this biur here. It's a little bit long-winded. He says, Kishem shebedin zeh nokta braisa loshon echad she'erev. Even though there were two people that were part of the Erev, and they're both alive and well, so that's Echad She'erev, only one of them participated in the Bittul Rishus. Because again, if one of them had died, then for sure the other one could be Mevatel's Rishus. So Echad She'erev means one of the two live people who are participants in the Erev. So to now, when we get back to the beginning of the Braisa, of Echad Shelo Erev, Mevatali Echad She'erev, it's even in a case with both of them, meaning the two participants of the Erev, are alive, because Abai is learning that all you have to do is be Mevatel to one of the Bnei Hachotze. But Larabba, who's of the opinion that the person who was not part of the Erev has to be Mevatel's Rishus to each one of the Bnei Achotzer, and therefore the beginning of the Braisa is talking about a case where there were two people part of the Erev, but one of them died. So Lechora, there's no additional Chidush in this din that tells me that if there's another person, it's Asur. Meaning that if only one of the two Bnei Ha'eruv would be Mevatel's Rishus to the third guy, it's not going to be valid. I mean, we know that even in a case where the one who is not part of the Eruv, if he's Mevatel's Rishus to one of the two people, it's not valid. So we see that it's an all or nothing proposition. So the answer is either Tani Reisha, Tani Nami Seifa. Now, it's once in the beginning part of the Braisa, he teaches you the din of a person who was not part of the Erev is being Mevatel Rishus to the participants of the Erev, so the Tana finishes it up to be symmetrical, and he addresses the opposite case, which would not be effective if one of the two people who are part of the Erev would be Mevatel the Rishus to the person who was not part of the Erev. Moving on in the Braisa, V'ein shnayim she'ervu nosnim reshusam l'shnayim shelo ervu. Hasu lamali. So Gemara objects, why does the Braisa have to again go back and teach me this din? This is pashut. Because Right? What's going to happen here? If the two people who are part of the Eruv are going to be mevatel the Rishus to the other two people, that means the other two people in the Eruv each have ownership over the Chatzer. And therefore one generates an Iser onto the other. And again, it's Shabbos, so it's impossible to make an Eruv. Is Lo Tzricha. What was the need for this extra piece in the Braisa? It's for a case of debata lechad minay lechavre. In other words, there was a two-stage process. Hakofa Aleph was where the two people who were part of the Erev were mevatel their reshus to the two people that weren't part of the Erev. Now in Hakofa Beis, one of the two people who was not part of the original Erev wants to now be mevatel his reshus to the other person who wasn't part of the Erev. Mal detem, I would say, lishtere le. Which means that we can validate this bitul reshus. And on the second level, that there'll be a recipient of that bitul reshus who will be allowed to carry into the chatzah. Now, I don't know, he has a couple of strange words here. Let me just read them to you. He says, Biofen zeh, this is in the Hamid, Yoser Hashimush, it was my mistake, sorry. I read it with the wrong vowels. Not Yoser, but Yutar. In other words, it's not a cholam, it's a kubutz. Yutar Hashimush b'chatzel yoso yochid. Fine. Now it makes more sense. So you have now a case where, if we could just give it names, Levi and Yehuda mevatel their reshus to Reuven and Shimon. Now Reuven is mevatel his reshus to Shimon, and Shimon should be allowed to carry in the chotzer in this hava mina kamash malon. The Braisa says no, this is not valid. And again, this is because of the two stages. Remember that we spoke about yesterday the sequence. The original bittel on the part of Levi and Yehuda has to be valid for any subsequent bittel to be activated. But here came into be in the debatel lo havi leishir yusa by chatzer. The original bittel of Levi and Yehuda was not valid to be matir chatzer. Is therefore lo. Therefore, there's no possibility of saying, well, Reuven has received Levi and Yehuda's portion in the Chatzer, and now he's giving over those portions plus his own to Shimon. That's not going to be valid because the original bittul was not valid. So that two-stage process is invalid because since process number one in its time, Be'idne, was not meaningful, therefore Reuven, who was on the receiving end of this bitul reshus, never really got possession over the chatzer, such that he can now forfeit his possession transfer it over to Shimon. The next part and the last part of the braisa is ein shnayim shelo eruvu nosnim reshusam l'shnayim shelo eruvu. Okay, so now the Braisa seems to add something that's totally superfluous. You have two people, Shalo Erevu, and they want to give their Rishus to the Shnayim Shalo Erevu. And we've already established that we have a Gzera that the next generation of children are going to assume that there's no need for an Erev Chatzeris. The whole institution of Erev Chatzeris would go down the tubes. So Hasu Lamali, why does the Braisa repeat what we already know? We already have early in the braisa that shnayim she'irvu cannot be mevatel the reshus of shnayim shelo irvu. Is lo tzricha the amri? It's a very unique case of kni al menas lahaknos, something that we discussed in yesterday's shiur, and that is that the mevatlim will say the following, that I want you to be my shliach for my bittul. So my bittul will not be operative, it will not be active until your bittul. And that's called kni al menas lahaknil. So I'm giving you this on the condition that you pass it on and transmit it, transfer it to a third party. Right? It's like Levi is saying to Reuven, I'm giving you this on the condition that you give it to Shimon. And in which case, it should be valid. Why? Because then we don't have two stages in sequence, but everything's going to be chal at one point. He says, Ba'ofen zeh, yale bedateru, we would entertain the possibility, she mino l'shliach, l'haknos l'chaveru, v'yochel avatalo gam es harashus shekibo mihem, afal pishlo hutalo li'atzmo l'shtamish b'chotzer. So again, Reuven will not be allowed to use the chotzer, but nevertheless, he can be mevatel the rishus that he got from Levi and Yehuda to Shimon. And the reason for that is because everything is being clinched simultaneously. This is the synchronize the bittul, and it's like two things are happening simultaneously. Number one, the Rishus of Levi and Yehuda is being transferred over to Reuven. And number two, the Rishus of Levi and Yehuda that's being transferred over to Yehuda, over to Levi and Yehuda over to Reuven, together with Reuven's Rishus, is all being transferred over to Shimon. Is Kamash Balon, the Brisa says that that's not valid. Even in a case of Kni al Manas Lahak. Boy, mine Rav Ami Rav Nachman, Yoreish Mao Shiyavatil Rishus. What happens if Reuven was not part of the Eruv and he dies? We'll see exactly when he died, but anyway, he dies. Let's assume he dies on Shabbos. That's the simple case. And Chanoch now inherits his father's Rishus. And now Chanoch is in the driver's seat to be Mevatel this Rishus to the other Bnei HaChatzer. Maoshi Yevatel Rishus. Shall we say that he just steps into the feet of his father, Chanoch, and just like his father could be Mevatel Rishus, so could he? Or do we say, no, he can't be Mevatel, because he was never even part of the Erev. I mean, he never could have been part of the Erev because he was not alive on Erev Shabbos. I'm sorry. Because he was not a Yoresh on Erev Shabbos, his father was alive. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Omid Beis. The Gemara now explains what exactly is the case that we have the suffix of Rav. Heichadi boi li'aruve v'yesmol motzi mi'arev. Shall we say that only if he could have been part of the Eruv, had he wanted to do so, then we give him the possibility of Bitulei Nami Mevata. He could exercise that right of Eruv in a Bitul Rishus mode. Aval Hai, but this case of the Yoresh, Kevin Diboy Liruvi Mesmol Omotzilar, if he was never part of the Erev on Erev Shabbos, he was never bestowed, there was never bestowed upon him the rights to do the Erev, therefore he cannot have Lo Matzi Vata, he cannot have Bitul Rishus, because Bitul Rishus is a fallback position for the Erev, but he was, this Yoresh was never part of the Erev on Erev Shabbos. O Dilma Yoresh Kare De'avuahu, we don't view the Yerusha as if now the possessions of the Morish, of the father, are being transferred over through a new transaction to the Yoresh. No, no, no. It's a different din. I mean, there's no kinyanim going on. The Yoresh is just simply stepping into the feet, the shoes of his father. He has exactly the same status and the same rights as his father. His father has rights to be Mavatel's Rishus because on Erev Shabbos he had the right to be Ma'ariv, and now those rights to be Mavatel's Rishus are transferred over to the son. Amalei, so if Nachman responds to Rava, Ani Omer Mevatel, I'm of the opinion that the Yoresh, like his father, can be Mevatel's Rishus on that Shabbos, on which he was Zochin the Rishus. However, I have to tell you the honest truth. Hani Debei Shmuel, Tanu Ein Mevatel. But the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, they taught Alocha Ein Mevatel. The Yoresh could not be Mevatel the Rishus, because as we said before, he did not have the rights or the ability to be part of the Erev on Erev Shabbos. His father was still alive. So the Gemara goes back now to Rav Nachman, Esvei. So they raise the following objection from Abraisa to Rav Nachman, who says that the Yorish has the same status as his father, and he can be invited to Shuzeh Klal. We have a principle in Hilchas Erevin, Kol Shem Mutar L'Mikzas HaShabbos Hutal L'Chol HaShabbos. The Chol Shem Nesar L'Mikzas HaShabbos Nesar L'Chol HaShabbos Chutz Mimavatel Rishus. So this Braisa formulates a set of principles, the first of which is that if there was a heter for part of the Shabbos, let's say, for example, going into Shabbos, it wasn't Mukta, so you're allowed to be metaltal this object, then even if circumstances change during the middle of Shabbos and it should become Mukta, nevertheless, it's not Mukta, we're not going to change the status. And in terms of Erevin, if we actually, this Braisa that we're quoting is a Braisa Masechta Erevin. It may have repercussions in Masechta Shabbos for Mukta, but he's talking about whether or not you need an Erev in a case where on Shabbos the situation changed in such a way that you cannot create an Erev. But if there was an Erev that was set up on Erev Shabbos, and that Erev was Matir Tiltal, in a place that otherwise would have been Asur B'Tiltal, to carry something from place to place, so once that Erev was effective on Erev Shabbos, it gets locked into its place, and it's Matir Tiltal for the entire Shabbos. If, on the other hand, going into Shabbos, there was an Isur Tiltal, and you couldn't carry from one place to the other, that Isur Tiltal, even if the situation changes with regard to this Chatzer in the middle of Shabbos, it retains its original status, and it's Asur L'Chol HaShabbos. But the only exception to this rule is Mevatel Rishus, that if one of the Bnei HaChatzer forgot to participate in the Erev with the other Bnei HaChatzer, and therefore he is Oser Aleim, he generates an Isur Hotzah and Tiltal from the Bais into the Chatzer going into Shabbos. Nevertheless, we can change that situation and be Matir Tiltal in the Chatzer midway through Shabbos through the mechanism of Bittul Rishus. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this price. At the beginning of the Braisa, it says, Kol Shehutu L'Mikzas Shabbos, Mutu L'Chol HaShabbos, Kigon. What would be a case where you had a heter going into Shabbos, and therefore it's Mutter for the entire Shabbos, Kigon? You have two Chatzeros that are contiguous one to the other. They're separated with one Mechitza. It has an opening between the two Chatzeros. Erev Derech HaPesach. If he made an Erev such that now he combined and he connected or unified the two chatzeros, v'nistama Pesach, but now the opening between the two mechitzos midway through Shabbos has closed. Or alternatively, Erev derech halon, he set up an Erev in a mechitza that has four tfachim by four tfachim of a mechitza, v'nistama halon, and in the middle of Shabbos, the halon, there was an avalanche and it got closed up, clogged up. is even though you cannot be ma'arev between two chatzeros if there's no Pesach between them, but nevertheless, since going into Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos, there was an Erev, and there was a heter hotzah from one chatzah to the other, that heter remains so that he can throw something through the holes or on top of the avalanche, and it can land on the other side of the chatzer. And that's going to be mutter because of the status quo going into Shabbos. And that which the Brisa said, Zeh Klal, which always comes to include, is Lasuye, it comes to include Mavui Shenitlu Korosov O Lechayov. Okay, that's the Sugya that Emir Tzashem B'li Neder we want to pick up tomorrow. So we are now halfway through Daf Ayin Amid Beis, and we'll pick this up, Lineder, tomorrow.